Let's just pray. Whoa, Father, we just want to say thank you so much for just wonderful words put to arrangements of music that we can express our praise to you. And we do want to say that this theme of trust is so dear to us, particularly in these times. If we need a excuse, we want to say that we want to be looking to you, we want to press into you with everything that we are and everything that we have. And Lord, our desire is that you are glorified in all things, that you are held above all things, that you are the one to whom we turn, to the one to whom we trust in all things, Lord. For you are the glorious one, you are the name above every other name. And yes, we want to honour that, Lord, for your glory. Amen. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Everybody doing well? Very good. Very good, very good, very good. Welcome to all our friends who can't be with us this morning. Particularly Russell and Laura. Great to have you guys listening in, and very sad that you couldn't be with us this morning, but and for anybody else who's locked down or locked in or forgot to get up or whatever you decided to do. Locked up, yes. We've had a few people who should have been locked up, but anyway, there we go. Okay, I've digressed before I've even started. I think this is a season when I seem as if week by week I'm giving warnings and exhortations, but I guess as a church pastor, that is what I have been really called to do. And I want to warn and exhort us again this morning and remind us that it is so important, as we've been singing this morning, to trust in God and God alone. I don't know about you, but I keep passing these people, when particularly when I'm out walking and praying and things like that, who I guess really on the face of it are just trying to be very polite. And they say, good morning, and then, you know, there's a greeting, good morning. And then there's one particular lady who always says, stay safe. And I'm sure that is, you know, she means well with that. And it's a, you know, you would try and take it as a lovely sentiment, but why does it irritate me when she says that? Stay safe. Stay safe. I am safe. God's looking after me. And I find some of these statements just really mildly irritating, to say the least. But if you've been following the news this week, you'll know that everything seems to be going pear-shaped, actually. I'm not sure that God's worried. But many people obviously are very angry, as well as been very anxious about a whole range of different things. But particularly about jobs and school and illness and death. And whatever it is that you're thinking about now, just as we remind ourselves of those. And, you know, it's just, I just hear some very, very surprising stories. I was talking to a friend of mine this week who leads a church. They will remain nameless, but they've got members of their congregation who unfortunately are actively discouraging people from going back to church because, you know, as soon as you step foot in the church, you're going to drop down dead. Because you might catch a disease. Well, actually, if you grieve the Holy Spirit, you might be a lot closer to the truth than what you actually think. But these people can't come to church, but drove across to the very southern tip of England, stopping at two or three hotels on the way there and on the way back, and yet, you know, cannot step foot in church because it's too dangerous. And I do have to question these things. And it does surprise me that even Christians are anxious when the Bible keeps telling us, do not fear. And so if we're pressing into God and we're looking towards God, which I have particularly been exhorting and encouraging people to do over the last several weeks, even when we were working through the latter part of Revelation, it was a theme that was recurring. And for me, the greatest threat to peace in our hearts is not what's happening around us or outside us, but what's taking place within us. We're putting ourselves on edge. And so the big questions we need to ask ourselves this morning, again, is where is your security? And what is your comfort when a significant threat looms? What is it that you turn to? Because I believe that Scripture speaks clearly to impending danger and anxiety. And it speaks to that in a number of different ways, from the start of the Bible right to the last book. But particularly this morning, I want to look at one psalm that does address that, and that is Psalm 121. So it should come up on the screen, but this is what it says, and we will be so familiar with it on the face of it, but I guess that poses the question, are we putting it into practice? I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Praise God for whoever wrote this. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Praise God. And so this is a song of ascents. It probably says that at the top of your Bible if you're looking at one right now. And it's a collection of songs that come after Psalm 119. And it's a celebration and a remembrance of when God's people used to travel up to and into Jerusalem for the big major feasts that were happening in their day. And it was a dangerous journey for many. Of course, unscrupulous people would know that these pilgrims were going up to Jerusalem, probably to make an offering, probably to buy some provisions at the end of it that they can't get locally. And they're travelling up there, probably wadged up. And unscrupulous people were ready to take advantage of that. So it could be a dangerous journey. And the psalmist speaks into those situations. And he says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? But it's only momentary, because in the very next breath he says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He tells himself straight away. And I think, as I've been considering this and preparing this, I was thinking about several situations, and I need to ask, what about you? Where are you looking to? I honestly cannot believe how many Christians are looking for security in the news, in a vaccine, in masks, by social distancing, by washing hands. I tell you what, I see more people wringing their hands in these days. And I think, what? Why are you getting so bogged down in all this stuff? Now, listen, I know that masks, we're wearing them in church this morning, social distancing and hand washing are very, very important in this context and this situation that we're in. And I'm not decrying that, and I'm not saying that they are not necessary, because they are. But I want to tell you, they're not necessary for salvation. And some people are putting more emphasis on all these things than they are on God. They've lost sight of where their help comes from. And so let's take these circumstances and let's use them to give us an opportunity to consider how we should respond to anxiety and fear. So again, what is your functional comfort when a significant threat looms? Where is, as the psalmist says, your help coming from? In the next part of this psalm, right through from verses 3 to the end, verse 8, it explains what I think was the fully comprehensive policy that God is offering his covenant people in his relationship to us. It's not just a fire and theft cover. It covers everything. And it's certainly not a, in times of emergency, smash glass and pray. We should be pressing into God all of the time. Consider God. We were saying that a few weeks ago, weren't we? Behold God. And very helpfully, when we move down just a little bit further, we're gonna look at that. But God gives us the good news. And each line is good news about who God is and what he will do for us. He will not let your foot be moved. Protection was a huge thing, particularly for these people going up to the feasts in these songs of ascents. Making their footsteps firm and sure was a big thing. They didn't need accidents or injury. It would cost them precious time, precious money, and make them vulnerable in more ways than one. But they were assured, he will not let your foot be moved, and he won't fall asleep. Can you remember it's a reference, I think, here to pagan gods. Can you remember Elijah when he came against the prophets of Baal and nothing happened? And he says, well, maybe they've fallen asleep. Maybe they sat on the toilet. Maybe they've got more important business to do. And it seemed like, you know, God's people in those days, they often looked to other gods as gods that didn't always answer. Well, of course, they couldn't, because they were carved images of stone or wood or gold or whatever it may be. But we are told, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And it's that beholding again. I was talking about it a couple of weeks ago. Behold, in other words, look at him. Get your eyes off yourself. Oops, I shouldn't shout. I'm more than 2 meters away, so you shouldn't be having any problem there. Get your eyes off yourself and get them on God. Remember, behold your God. Can you remember a couple of weeks ago we were saying, what you behold, you become. We've been singing this morning, how great thou art. Can you think when the verses, and when I think of God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. And when I think, is beholding God. We've got to behold God, because what you behold, you will become. Imagine, if you don't know, or if you've forgotten, the Lord is your personal keeper. I was thinking about that when myself and Angela was walking out this morning and praying. The Lord, verse 5, is your keeper. Can you imagine that the God with a big G, the God who is sovereign, the God who's over every other power and authority on earth and in heavenly places, is your personal keeper? What more strength and assurance should we need? It says day or night. I think that's pretty much comprehensive cover. Day rolls into night, night rolls into day. It covers everything. And we will be kept through all evil. The sun will not strike you by day or the moon by night. Why? Because the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Are we believing it? It's a familiar psalm. But is it too familiar that we aren't considering exactly what it says? I've not got very much by way of commentaries on the psalms. But I think the only commentary that I've got on the Psalms is by a chap called Derek Kidner. He's very popular, probably because there aren't too many commentaries on the Psalms. But Derek Kidner says this. He says, the psalm ends with a pledge which could hardly be stronger or more sweeping. You're going out and you're coming in. It's not only a way of saying everything. In closer detail, it draws attention to one's ventures and enterprises and to the home which remains one's base. He's a one, he's Derek Kidner. Again, to pilgrimage and return, perhaps even to the dawn and the sunsets of one's days. But the last line takes good care of this journey, and it would be hard to decide which half of it is the more encouraging. The fact that it starts from now, or that it runs on. Not to the end of time, but without end. Like God himself, who is my portion forever. Absolutely wonderful words there. The Lord will preserve everything you do forever. It's fully comprehensive cover. And that is very, very important. So, does Scripture omit to tell us that the only thing that God cannot cope with is COVID-19? Of course, he can set the stars into place. He can establish earth from nothing. He can make man out of the dust of the earth. He can set the waters above the earth and the waters on the earth. He can send his son out of the glory and the majesty of heaven. God himself coming to earth, Emmanuel with us. He can cover the whole sin problem of the world, but nobody's told us that God cannot cope with COVID-19. Shock and horror. Oh my word. Let's get a reality check. Okay, and the reality check is, for this morning at any rate, coming to us in the New Testament, in the first letter of Peter. So if you want to turn across to there, and we're just going to very briefly look at two verses. Verses 6 and 7. Okay. Paul is talking here, we know it well, you will know it well, to persecuted Christians, people who had lost status, jobs, families, even their lives. And so by association, those things cover everything that we could be facing now, whoever we are. However, not to lessen their circumstances of anxiety, Peter addresses the cause of their anxiety. And he also gives them a biblical remedy. So are you ready to hear what it is? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that God, at the proper time, may exalt you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. There is the biblical remedy. And that's what it is. Simply, humble yourselves. Some of you might have wanted more than that. Poof. Humble myself. Ooh. Now, the therefore, humble yourselves is what is in most versions. The therefore points to verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So there's the remedy. The therefore points back to the fact that God resists the proud. So in light, as I understand it, of warnings and promises, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Do you agree with that? That seems to be what God is saying in Scripture. Maybe I'm just missing something there. Okay, so it's very important, because I don't think that you can do anything or have anything that is worse than being opposed to God. God opposes the proud. If you are proud, or if you are full of pride, God is opposed to you. That is a scary thought. But, as he always does, and we say this so regularly, God gives us a way out. God gives grace to the humble. So I think it's fair and obvious to say that we've got two options. You need to choose wisely, but as I understand it, it's not a choice really. We can choose to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, or we can choose to be full of pride, and God's going to oppose us. Now, the mighty hand of God, I'm not going to go too much into this couple of verses, but the mighty hand of God there is a reference that they would have known only too well in context to the Exodus. It's the same kind of language. The mighty hand of God saved God's people out of the land of Egypt and saved them through many circumstances so that they might have confidence in him at the proper time. But you may think, and I'm sure some of you exactly are thinking it, Dave, hold on a minute. Shouldn't the anxious get God's pity, and so therefore shouldn't God help them? Well, God is helping you if he says you humble yourself. God is not just going to have pity on you because you're anxious about some things, because the Bible's telling us, do not fear, do not be anxious. It's telling us this all the time. So it's more of a warning. But God gives us a way out. And we should choose to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Peter, I think, makes it clear in verse 7, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And when we do that, we acknowledge our powerlessness to carry them, or the ability to manage them ourselves. And I think it implies that if casting anxiety on him is the way to humble ourselves, not to do it and to take on worry and anxiety is pride. Now, this is the problem with pride. Not only is it a major sin, it's actually the sin that caused the devil or Satan to fall. But pride, in my understanding and experience, causes a hardness of heart. It stops us having that connection with God. It doesn't help us in any way, our beholding God, because what we're saying is we can do it by ourselves. And because the heart grows cold and hard, it affects our relationship to God. It grieves the Holy Spirit, and it dismisses Jesus' grace. And so, I guess, probably more recently than at most of the times I can remember, I hear people asking for prayer because they are anxious. And I hear people praying, and I've done it myself. Please, God, take away so-and-so's fear and anxiety. And what happens? It comes back. And why does it come back? It's because it is something that needs repenting of, according to Peter. Repentance is a turning away from something. Faith is turning towards something. So we need to repent of our anxiousness. Not they're people because they are anxious. That's certainly what Peter seems to be saying. So please don't go away and say, Dave says anxiousness is sin. Read your Bible. I'm only telling you what the Bible says. If you you want to say Dave's telling us that pride is sin and anxiousness is sin, well, I'm only telling you what I understand the Bible to be saying. It's the very pride that opposes God, and that God actually opposes. God opposes the proud. Verse 5. We tend to think of anxiety as a lack of faith. But Peter says it's a lack of humility, or an evidence of pride. An evidence of pride that says we can do it better. We don't really need God. This is not that important. It's not a smash glass in case of emergency prayer, this. This is just something that I can deal with. So the cause of persistent anxiety and worry is not adverse circumstances. It wasn't for the people in Peter's day. It's not adverse circumstances. Circumstances that are the situation and the context, but circumstances are not the cause. It seems very obvious to me that the cause of anxiety is the failure to cast our cares on Jesus. And that is strange, because we don't usually see anxiety as sin. It's usually something that we're there. But if it is, and that's exactly what I think that Peter is saying, we ought to get rid of it. Because anxiety is a subtle and serious sin, because it is an expression, according to Peter, of pride. And it's ignoring what the whole Bible says from beginning to end, including this wonderful Psalm 121. Where do you look to for your help? My help comes from God. The second song that we sung this morning had a refrain to the wonderful 23rd Psalm, an arrangement by Stuart Townsend, which is the best arrangement by far that I've ever heard of the 23rd Psalm. And I will trust in you alone. Well, how the songs have so helped us this morning press into God and understand the context of this scripture. If you disagree and think, how can it be impossible, or how can it be possible for anxiety to be a sin, if that's troubling you even at this point, just take these words from somebody else, a guy called Tom Schreiner, in his commentary on 1 Peter. Worry is a form of pride, because when believers are filled with anxiety, they are convinced that they solve all the problems in their lives in their own strength. The only God, with a small g, they trust is themselves. When believers throw their worries upon God with a big G, they express their trust in His mighty hand, acknowledging that He is Lord and sovereign over all of life. If you look underneath the anxiety in your life, as I understand it, the cause of that anxiety is not outside of yourself or even in your circumstances. It's within yourself. And you are proudly convinced that you are the one that can sort it. And that is a dangerous place to be in. Let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you for Scripture that addresses every circumstance of life. Lord, I thank you that you have set it out before us, that we have access to it. That it is the very words of God breathed out for us. We thank you for all that it is and all that it means to us and for us. We thank you that many people have gone before us and they have put their trust in you and you alone. And they have come through every kind of adversity, every kind of problem in life, because they have beheld the one who has the answers to those problems. And Lord, I pray that increasingly it would be our understanding, our experience, that we would behold the one who has all the answers to life situations and circumstances, the God who is sovereign over all and in all and through all, the God who has all the answers at his fingertips and has written them down for us, for our own personal view. Thank you that we are kept by the God with a big G, and that he knows our going out and our coming in from this day forth and forevermore. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a good week.